is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host, Jason Sunkel. Jason, it is Tuesday, August the 13th, and we have not done an NBA pod in a little while, so we figured we'd jump on and talk about some of the notable things that have happened in the league over the last couple of weeks as free agency has kind of ground to a halt. We had the release of the schedule in the last day or two. We also have Team USA going on, and the NBA released its all-decade top three teams, so the top 15 players of the decade. So we're going to talk about all three of those topics, and we'll start off with some reactions to the release of the NBA schedule.
Yeah, so first of all, I'm going to take issue with the NBA schedules, Mike, because they decided that they were going to schedule the Lakers to play the Cavs at home on March 26th. And then the Major League Baseball idiotically scheduled opening day to be the same day, March 26th in Cleveland. Why is baseball playing in Cleveland on March 26th? That's idiotic. So now people are going to have to choose whether to go watch LeBron play or go to opening day. So that's my first piece I want to say. I'm not very happy about it.
All right. Well, so it's like the old LeBron quote when he first came, you know, came here or came back here, whatever it was, when he said he's going to light Cleveland up like Vegas. So there should be quite a crowd downtown for those two events.
Well, that's so stupid, though. I can't believe Major League Baseball is playing. They play the first six games at home. That's idiotic.
Hey, come on.
Three of those games are going to get snowed out.
Weather's going to be great. Weather's going to be great in March, at the end of March in Cleveland. I'm sure we'll have 75-degree days and, you know, bright sun with nice white puffy clouds floating overhead. Either that or snow, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So what we thought we would start with is that we're gonna predict the Cavs' first win, Mike. That's what we're going to do. We're going to look through their schedule, and we're going to figure out when are the Cavs going to win their first game.
Okay, so, I'm ready.
October 23rd, opening night, we are at Orlando. Do we have a chance?
Orlando, I think, is going to be halfway decent. I wouldn't completely rule it out, but I'd say that's a loss.
Yeah, I agree. That's a loss.
If that was a home game, I might see a victory there. But I think on the road, I think that's a loss.
All right. So we're 0-1. Saturday, 3 days later, we're at home. An 8 o'clock game. I don't know if this means I think we got two national televised games. I don't know. 8 o'clock home versus the Pacers.
That's a loss.
Okay. I don't even spend any time on this one.
Oladipo is going to be out for a while, though. So
yeah, so there's a chance. There's an outside chance. But they still played well, even though he was injured, remember? I mean, they played well in the playoffs, considering the fact that
they did.
So I'm that's a loss. Monday, the 28th of October, we are at Milwaukee. That's a loss.
That's a loss.
Okay, I think this is the one, Mike. Wednesday, October 30th, we are home against the Chicago Bulls.
The Bulls are improved.
So you're saying a lot.
Kobe White, Markkanen, Zach LaVine, Wendell Carter. Come on. That's a loss.
It's a loss. Okay. November 1st. I'm saying that's a win. So I'm going.
Okay. All right. So you're out.
I'm out. It's on you now. Yeah, Friday, we are away at Indiana. If you said they are going to lose at home,
that's a loss.
Yeah. Okay. Sunday, we host the Dallas Mavericks, November 3rd.
Ooh, that's a win.
Oh, really? You don't have Luka? Luka and Porzingis?
Porzingis is still going to be, you know, they're going to be trying to figure it out. Luka supposedly remade his body. I saw some still photos of him that, you know, saying, I can't believe this is Luka. Where's the Luka we knew from last year? Showed him like lifting like free weights outside somewhere. So I'm not sure how serious of a workout he was getting out on some, you know, outdoor weightlifting venue. But at any rate, I think that's I'll say that's a win.
So you're going, they're going to start 1-5. I like it. Okay. Just so you know, I would have predicted you to pick not the next game, because we're playing home against Boston. I don't think you would have picked that.
Uh-oh.
I think you would have. My prediction was that you were going to say they were going to win the following Friday at Washington. So that
seems like a winnable game, although on the road, who knows?
And then the following game, we play the Knicks. So I figured one of those two games you were going to pick us to win. Yeah, so might, I know how much you love Barrett.
Yeah, we might. Hey, we might. Yeah. I'm not sold. I continue not to be sold on RJ Barrett after what I saw in summer league. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what the Cavs do, and we'll obviously get more into this as we get closer to the season. But if their rookies can be decent, if Kevin Love can stay healthy, they might surprise us and be more competitive than we think. And yet at the same time, if things don't go well, which we saw last year, they could very, very quickly slide back to the very, very bottom of the league. So we'll see.
All right. So the only game I really want to talk about opening night, and I find it a very interesting game, Mike, is that the New Orleans Pelicans are playing at Toronto when Toronto is getting their rings and they've got Zion in the building. I think that is genius NBA marketing, because no one's going to be watching this game if it wasn't for Zion, because of Kawhi being gone, and I just didn't think that anyone's going to be paying attention to it. And now Zion's going to pay attention to it, or make everyone pay attention to it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, there's certainly going to be a lot of eyeballs on that game, and they're all not going to be tuning in to see the defending champion Toronto Raptors. They're going to be tuning in to see the next big thing in the league. They're going to tune in to see Zion. And I think you're right there that the NBA knew exactly what it was doing. It's kind of sad. It'll be, you know, obviously the Toronto players, the guys that are getting their rings, are going to be excited, and the city will, you know, be proud of the fact that the players are going to get their rings and they won one title. But it's got to be very, very bittersweet, that knowing that you're not getting back there and that Kawhi left. And I get it. We had one championship and we were happy with that, and I would have liked to have gotten more, but again, I never thought I would see one in my lifetime, let alone get multiple. But it still was sad when LeBron left, and it just leaves certainly a different feel to what basketball is, and Toronto's about to experience that as well. So I think you're right in that game, the eyeballs that are tuned into it are going to be not watching the Raptors, but they're going to be focused in on Zion's debut and see what he brings to the table.
All right. Now there's two more things we're going to talk about. First thing, prediction: what team has the most nationally televised games?
Most nationally televised games. Well, I would say it has to be either the Lakers or the Clippers. I'm going to say the Lakers.
It is the Lakers. That is correct. 43, I think, was the number. 43 nationally televised games.
LeBron's still a huge draw. I think there's a lot of intrigue with what the Lakers are going to look like, and there's a lot of intrigue as to what LeBron's going to look like. I'm starting to hear a lot of talk and read a lot of things how the fact that he's only played 55 games in the last 365 days is going to have him coming back recharged, because he hasn't done that in 10 years where he's played that small a number of games with all the playoff runs with the Cavs and Miami, and that he's going to come back refreshed. And, you know, we've talked about it here before. At some point, Father Time catches up with everybody, and it seemed like it was catching up with him a little bit last year, in that he had that major injury for the first time that actually kept him out of games. And we saw some of the instances of his lack of defensive effort at times. But I think that people really want to see, is he going to turn it back on now that it seems like the Lakers have maybe not – I'm still not convinced that the two of them and the rest of the roster is enough to win a title, but they're certainly going to be back in the playoff mix and be a team that's talked about as we're heading into the playoffs next spring if Anthony Davis and LeBron can stay healthy. So it'll be very, very interesting to see what version of LeBron we get this – especially the regular season. I think in the playoffs, we know he's going to step it up and turn it on, and he's not going to completely fall off the cliff as a playoff player. But I'll be interested to see what he does in the regular season. Anthony Davis is, I think, as good as anybody he's ever played with. Maybe the first year of Dwayne Wade when they were in Miami, and obviously Kyrie was very, very good, and Kevin Love was good. But I don't think either of those guys approach the talent level or were in their prime the way Anthony Davis is. So it'll be interesting to see if LeBron, how much he, quote, defers. We haven't known him to defer very much during his career, but it'll be interesting to see what that dynamic looks like. And so people want to see it. I mean, that's why, I mean, it's no secret why they're on national television 43 times.
All right, so what team's number two, Mike?
The Clippers.
No.
Okay, then let's see. All right, let me think.
Is it
an Eastern Conference team?
No.
So it's all right. Well then, man, it's got to be the Warriors then.
It is the Warriors. They have 42. They have one less, Mike, than the Lakers.
Again, you can see the intrigue. What are they going to look like? And you're going back to what they were pre-Durant, and obviously they're also missing Klay. So I think people are going to be, just as people are interested in what LeBron's going to bring to the table this year, I think a lot of people are interested to see what Steph's going to do now that he's not going to be sharing shots with two other prolific scorers. And how many more shots per game is he going to take? What's his stat line going to look like? What kind of load is he going to have to carry in order for that team to be good? I think it's an interesting season for Steph. I can honestly say I'm interested in seeing what ends up happening with him and his production. And will he be able to step up and carry a bigger load in order to get them back to the upper echelon of the Western Conference, or at least get him in position where if Klay comes back, they can challenge for the top of the conference. It's going to be very interesting to watch Steph this year and see what he does without those other guys around him.
All right. And then the last thing we wanted to talk about schedule wise, because obviously it's just a schedule. We don't really know what it's going to look like when it happens, but is the Christmas Day slate. And I'll go through it really quickly. And then Mike, you can tell me what game you're most looking forward to. How does that sound?
That sounds good.
All right. So game one is Boston versus Toronto in Toronto.
Okay. Not interested.
Not interested. Game two, Milwaukee versus Philly in Philly.
Very interested.
Interested. Game three, Houston versus Golden State in Golden State.
Mildly interested, only because I think at that point, by Christmas, we'll kind of have a feel for what those two teams are. For me, the intrigue with those two teams will come at the very beginning of the season, the first 5 to 10 games that they play, where you start to see how Russ and Harden are going to play together. And then, like I just said, with Curry, see how the Warriors, what they look like without Steph and, or I'm sorry, without Klay and KD. And I'm on record as not being a huge fan of the Rockets. So I don't really enjoy watching them very much. And obviously I'm not a Warriors fan. So I don't, that game, I'm mildly interested in it, but not that that's definitely not.
I have a feeling the next two games are going to pique your interest, Mike. The fourth game is the Clippers at the Lakers, or I mean, it's really the same. I don't even know who's the home team. I think the Lakers are technically the home team. That's an interesting game to me.
That's a very interesting game. I don't know. Is that the first time they play during the season,
That's a question I don't know the answer for. I'll try to figure that out when you analyze the fourth or the fifth game, which I'll be honest, I normally don't watch the fifth game, a 10:30 game on Christmas Day. But I will, because it's the Pelicans versus the Nuggets.
That's a fun game. And I think, you know, come Christmas time, we'll have a good idea of what we have in Zion, at least as a rookie. Is he going to be a guy that's going to have a LeBron or a Carmelo type rookie year where he's going to score 20 a game and do some of the other things as far as his floor game goes? Or is he just going to be maybe a rookie who struggles a little bit to find his way? And so by Christmas, we should have a pretty good handle on what kind of rookie season he's going to be having.
To answer your question, it is not the first time the Clippers and the Lakers play. The Clippers and Lakers play opening night.
Okay, so obviously that game, you're going to be very, very interested in seeing those two teams. And, you know, opening night, you're not necessarily a fully formed team, especially since those two rosters have kind of come together here in the summertime. So they're going to grow and obviously get better between opening night and Christmas Day. So that game will definitely be intriguing. I don't think there'll be the same buzz as there will be on opening night when they play each other. But certainly that's a very good game.
I think it'll be good to see them play opening night and then see what difference 2 months later. I think that's kind of interesting. What kind of growth are the Lakers going to have? And the Lakers actually start off by playing the Clippers and the Jazz. Those are their first two games. I think that's very, very interesting. I think it'll be a good measuring stick for them to at least start.
Those will be fun games to watch. And then obviously on the other side of the Pelicans game, you'll have the Nuggets, and I'll get the chance to see my guy Bol Bol. So I'm excited about that.
conspiracy theory about the Lakers here, Mike. they don't leave Los Angeles until November 1st. Is that because LeBron has to finish shooting Space Jam 2 or what?
I don't know.
I mean, the season starts 10/22, and their first, I mean, technically their first game's away because it's against the Clippers, but they're at home essentially, and they play their next three games at home.
Well, maybe Bronny has some games. He's got to jump into some layup lines and get the crowd fired up at some of Bronny's games. So who knows what the NBA was doing there. All right, let's quickly rank your level of interest in those five games.
I think
obviously number five is clear.
Number
Boston Toronto, I could care less about.
I probably
won't want to watch 1 minute of that game.
That's called we need a game at 12:00 on Christmas Day. You guys are the winners.
Exactly.
I think that's number five. I think number four for me is probably, and this is weird to say, I think it's probably Houston Golden State.
I agree.
I think number three for me is probably Pelicans Nuggets.
I agree.
And number two would be Clippers Lakers, and one is probably Milwaukee Philly. And I probably won't get to watch much of that game because that's right in the middle of the day. And that's right when we're doing Christmas dinner and stuff, and I know I probably won't be able to get away. I'll have to DVR it or something. But
well, we're on the same page. I agree with you on that ranking. I think watching Philly and Milwaukee throughout the year and how those two teams I think are going to be circling each other all year at the top of the East. I think they're going to separate themselves, and it's going to be a two-team race for that top seed. And I watched some Giannis highlights for him playing of the Greek national team, dominating what looked like a YMCA team again, just dunking on everybody. So I think Giannis is primed for a good year. I think what happened to him at the playoffs last year against Toronto, I'm betting that fuels his fire, and he's going to come back even better next year.
And what's more interesting about that game, Mike, is that will be the first time those two teams play. Unlike the Lakers, you know, the Bucks won't have played Philadelphia when they come into that game on Christmas Day. So who knows? I mean, that'll be kind of good to see how that matchup happens.
At this point, I think it would be a monumental upset if those aren't the two teams in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Come on, you're not giving Boston, the Team USA, a chance here? Come on.
No. Good segue. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. So Team USA, let's start out before we talk about the specifics of the roster, which are quite interesting. Let's talk about just the cycle of kind of what's happened with USA basketball and the Olympics and wins and losses. And it seems like what happens is that we have a loss in Olympic play, don't win the gold medal. And that's what then spurs some of the best players to get involved. And then eventually, as it seems like it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to win, and as guys who have been sort of the main cogs of the team age out, then they start stepping out and not playing. And then you're left with some of these younger guys who maybe, if all the players that we'd want to see probably on the roster were there, these guys wouldn't be on the team. And yet they're stepping up and filling those spots. But it seems like it takes an embarrassing international loss to kind of shame the best players back into playing on Team USA. And it seems like that's the situation we're in now, where the best guys have said, you know, we've done this a few times. We've won our gold medals. We need some rest. We're not going to get involved. And if we lose this World Cup, it won't make that much of a difference because nobody cares about it. But heading into next year's Olympics, if somehow we put together a roster that's similar to the one we have for this international competition, then there's a very good chance that we could lose. I mean, not to say that we will, but that we could lose. And if we do, then I think you'll see the upper echelon of the NBA come rushing back to play for Team USA.
Yeah, I agree. And I think here's my biggest takeaway is, you know, I completely understand, you know, Kevin Love hasn't been healthy in the NBA in quite a few years. So I can understand his point of, I'm not going to play and risk my injury because I'm already injury prone. James Harden said he had to figure out how to play with Russell Westbrook. What a joke. Like, come up with something more creative. I don't
Mike,
even care.
You don't think they're in the lab, you know, working with John Lucas all day, trying to figure out how to play together?
No, they're not doing that. It's just terrible. I don't know. I just think and these cop outs. Now, I will say, I was all on the get Carmelo a spot on the team bandwagon, and here's why: because at least you would have had some veteran.
You would have had Olympic Melo. Well, Kemba's the veteran, and PJ Tucker, and I guess Middleton, and Harrison Barnes has played quite a bit. He's got quite a bit of international experience. He's played on a couple of these intermittent.
But have you
teams.
Ever heard Harrison Barnes say a word?
No, oh, I would have. I would have no idea. I have no idea what his voice would sound
like.
He's no
leader. And like even Kemba's, I think Kemba shows emotion on the court, but I don't see him being a leader.
All right. So you look at this roster and who's the guy that stands out to you? And I'm not basing this on any real knowledge of what I've seen or observed, but just kind of what my thoughts are in terms of what their reputation is within the league and within their team. And I think the guy who's the leader, I'll tell you who I think, but
probably PJ Tucker.
Okay. Right? Okay.
That's probably who I would pick. And that's just because he's the old head in this group, A, and B, you know, he kind of is the enforcer. So I think he's probably the leader more than anyone. I don't know. That's just my,
All right. My secondary guy is De'Aaron Fox. I think De'Aaron Fox, from what we've heard about what he's done in Sacramento and kind of that he's a culture changer and he's a guy who really knows how to lead his teammates. I wouldn't be surprised, just based on reputation, if De'Aaron Fox doesn't step up into that role. And there's a lot of buzz for De'Aaron Fox heading into this year that he's going to really elevate himself up into the top tier of guards in the league. So I'll be curious. I mean, those are the kind of guys in this situation. Like, I don't know that I'd want to watch this team in the Olympics, this particular group. I'd much prefer to send a more star-laden group to the Olympics. But in these off-year international competitions, in a way, I'd almost like to see them limited to, like, under 25 guys or 24 and under guys who are up and coming and get a chance to work with the USA basketball coaching staff and get a chance to get some exposure, get a chance to play together. I think that would be a fun way for USA basketball to set things up. Now, they're probably never going to do that just because of, again, politics and guys wanting to play or not wanting to play. But I guess when I'm watching this, I want to see the younger guys play. I don't care about watching PJ Tucker or Brooke Lopez. You know, I want to see how Donovan Mitchell plays. I want to see how De'Aaron Fox plays. Hey. I want to see what Tatum does. Those are the guys that I'm interested in watching to see how they perform in those kinds of circumstances.
Yeah, I think we'd be remiss not to mention that Joe Harris is on the team. And
absolutely. I hope Joe makes it. Hope it ends up that he's part of the final roster. And certainly as a shooter, one of the things that Team USA traditionally has lacked over the course of the last 25 or 30 years is those guys who can step out of the floor and knock down, catch and shoot jump shots. And certainly Joe can obviously do that. And so we hope that Joe's on the final roster, and that'll be exciting for his dad. And I know his dad was out in Vegas watching him at the, during the trials. So hopefully good luck to Joe, and hope he makes the team and be fun to watch him as part of Team USA for sure.
Yeah. So I don't really have anything else to say about Team USA. Is there anything you have to add to that?
Good luck. I mean, again, we should have, if you look at the rosters of all these other teams, and when another team's supposed to be good, it's like, well, they have four NBA players. Okay, well, we have 15 NBA players. And no, they're not the best players in the league, but 15 NBA players, if they come out and compete and they play hard and they play together, and obviously they're going to be well coached with Popovich and the rest of that staff, you would think that they'd be able to bring home the gold medal. But who knows? It's certainly not our best team that we could put on the floor.
All right. So the last thing we want to talk about is the all-decade team. And we kind of did a little bit of a pre-discussion on this, so we knew where we stood. What I'll do is I'll read the list of the first team, and then we can discuss whether we think this is a fair group or not. The first group, for the first team, all decades. So this has got to be from 2010 to the current season. So I'm kind of confused. I think they included 2009 and 2010 as well in this all-decade team. That would be my guess, based on the fact that some of these players have 10 All-Stars and 10 All-NBAs. But anyways, so the first team, we have Steph Curry, James Harden, LeBron, Kevin Durant, and Kawhi Leonard.
I think that's a no-brainer. To me, there's nobody on that first team that I would take off. And I don't think anybody, if you look through the next two teams, there's nobody on those next two teams that I would say should clearly be elevated above one of those five guys. Who, I guess, if I had to, if you have to rank those guys, how do you rank them?
Like,
not best player, but just who's the most lockish, for lack of a better word, on that first team? How would you rank?
I think them? the three definites are LeBron, Durant, and Curry. I think Harden's probably a lock. And I think if anyone is not a lock, it's Kawhi, in my opinion. And that's just because he's been injured. He's not been in the league as long as the other four. And that would be my only person that questionable. Like, and I'm not saying that I don't think he deserves to be on the first team, because I do believe he deserves to be on the first team, because he's probably the best all around player on that list. Maybe, like, you know, two-way player, I guess.
Yeah,
that's what I meant. But I think Kawhi, if I had to rank any of the five, he would be at the bottom of my five.
Yeah, LeBron, Durant, and Curry are no-brainers. They're unquestionably on that first team. I'm not a fan of Harden, so maybe that clouds my vision on him. But if you look at the stats, you look at the All-Star appearances, and you look at the All-NBAs, I think the case that Harden has for being on that first team is pretty strong. Kawhi's case is, I've won two titles with two different teams, and I've been the NBA Finals MVP. And I think his case comes down to those two playoff runs and the final series that first year when they beat Miami. I think that's what it comes down to for Kawhi. So I don't have much of a problem with the first team. I guess if I was going to take somebody off, then I have to look at the second team and say, who would I put on? And as I look at that second team, there's nobody that I would move up ahead of any of those guys who are on the first team. So I'm good with that. I'm good with that first team.
So the second team, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, Blake Griffin, and Carmelo Anthony. Oh boy. I don't know about Carmelo on the second team, but the rest of the guy, and Blake too. Blake's a hard one for, and we didn't really talk about this beforehand. Like, I don't know Blake on there.
He's got six All-Star appearances. He's got five All-NBAs. I think to me, the two most solid guys on that team that are unquestionable, I think, are Chris Paul and Westbrook. Yeah. I think those two guys have a rock solid case to be on the second team. There's no way I would move them off. I think the other three, Anthony Davis, Blake Griffin, and Carmelo, you can start to make some arguments for guys below them, moving them up into that second team. I think the shakiest one, it's tough because each guy kind of has like a different flaw that makes you question whether or not they should be on the team. So Anthony Davis has basically injured and basically has no playoff resume whatsoever. They won a series or two, not last season, but the season before. And then they made the playoffs one other time when they lost to the Warriors, and Davis had a big series. But basically he's played three playoff series in his career. Now Blake's played a little bit more in the playoffs, but he hasn't always been great. And he obviously has a huge, huge injury history too. And then you have Carmelo, who the game has kind of gotten away from him. I think the fact that Carmelo's made eight All-Star teams, and yeah, he's only made three All-NBAs, which is tied with Davis for the least amount on that second team. But I think if you look at his place in the league, and as that decade was going on up until the last two, 3 years, if you look at the first 5 years of that decade, I don't think there's any doubt that Carmelo was one of the most recognizable names and one of the biggest stars and one of the people that, you know, NBA fans talked about Carmelo as being one of the best players. So I guess my most questionable guy there, believe it or not, I think is actually Anthony Davis, because I just don't know what he's done in the regular season is tremendous, and what his potential is still tremendous, but I'm not 100% sure that I'd have him in there ahead of Blake Griffin and Carmelo. I think Blake Griffin and Carmelo would be the two that I'd say are more solid than Davis. Davis, to me, is the weakest part of this second team.
I could see that. My thing is this, Mike, and, you know, Anthony Davis, he just, every time he's on the floor and he's healthy, he's probably one of the best five players in the league, and it's probably been that way since he's been there. And I know he's been injured a lot. I just don't think I could ever say Carmelo was – would you ever say that Carmelo was one of the best five players in the league?
That's a good – I don't know. That's a tough one.
In his career, was he ever one of the best five players in the league? I don't think so.
And there were probably some of his better seasons where you probably could make a case for him. I think he finished third one year in MVP voting. I could be wrong, but was he a clear-cut top five player in the league at any point? No. I mean, what separates him from especially the guys in the first team is his defense or his lack thereof. Although I guess
percentage probably.
Yeah. Although I guess, you know, Harden obviously isn't a great defensive player. Curry works hard on defense, but he's certainly not known as a defensive player. So, you know, there are some guys that have some defensive weaknesses, but Carmelo has some clear weaknesses. But there is no doubt that at one time there were multiple years in the league where if I had to have a basket in the last minute, I'm not so sure I wouldn't have picked Carmelo to be the guy to give the ball to in the last 24 seconds to get me a basket, just because he could score in so many different ways. He could shoot from outside. He could post up. He could take guys off the dribble. He could shoot a pull up. So I'm okay. I'm actually okay with Carmelo, because to me, he was somebody who represented the league at certain points during this decade, where when you were thinking NBA, you were thinking Carmelo. And even if you went down and maybe you did a ranking, maybe Carmelo wasn't top five, but as far as being a personality, as being somebody that was thought of first, I think Carmelo ranked up a lot higher than we remember it. So I'm okay with Carmelo.
Okay.
On the second.
All right. You've swayed me, Mike. Congratulations.
All right. Well, good.
If this whole teaching and podcasting thing doesn't work out, you should look into lawyer.
All right. Good.
All right. So let's go to the third team now. Third team All NBA for the decade. Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant, Paul George, LaMarcus Aldridge, Giannis. So I'll just say my one take, and here's my one take. You know, we were talking, and I kind of forgot how good Kobe was even in his declining years. And I mean, the fact that he made seven All-Star teams, and yes, one of the years he made the All-Star team, he tore his Achilles and only played six games. And right. So that's
a ceremonial All-Star bid.
Yeah. But he averaged in this decade, he averaged 24.7 points, five rebounds, five assists. And, you know, they were competitive for some years. They were not competitive for other years, but I mean, he still put up numbers, and you got to give it to him. I mean, he is probably one of the top 10 players all time, Mike. I don't know. I don't have a definitive list in my head, but he's probably top 10, top 15 player all time, right?
Yeah, he's somewhere in that. He's somewhere in that range. He's somewhere below the top 5 and somewhere above the top 20, I would say. So he's somewhere between 5 and 20, depending on how you feel about him.
Yeah, but anyway, so I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Wade, you know, even though he was kind of declining once again. He had the same amount of all NBAs. He had one more All-Star appearance than Kobe, and once again, that included the honorary one with Dirk this past season. The person that I'm questioning, and you can disagree with me. There's two people on here that I would say are my two weak links in my opinion, and we'll get into the snubs here in a second. The Paul George and LaMarcus Aldridge. I don't know, decade teams. I don't know about them. That's my opinion. I don't know.
So I guess, all right, let's make the case for each one of them. So the Paul George case is when he was in Indiana, he was really, really good. And Indiana came, I think, closer than people realize or closer than we remember to knocking off Miami one or two of those years. And they obviously didn't, but they gave them – in a lot of cases, and I think in two of those series, gave him everything that they could have wanted. And Paul George was very, very good in those two series. Paul George was very, very good last year. Now, it still comes down to when you look at the landscape of the NBA, there's really only a few guys in any given year and in any given career that are the guy who can carry you to a title. There just aren't many of those guys. And Paul George is not one of those guys. And I think that's where we start to have a problem with, should he be on an all-decade team? And I think that's the same problem with LaMarcus Aldridge. Aldridge has put up really good stats. He's got 7 all-star appearances. He's made 5 all-NBA teams. He certainly has the just purely paper resume that says he should be on the team. So I guess if we're looking at thinking that those guys shouldn't be on, then I think we have to look at who would we replace them with. Before we do that, though, let me, what guy of those 5 would you be most likely to move up onto the second team if you were going to take one of those second teamers off? Let's say, in my case, let's say I was going to bump Anthony Davis off that team. Who would you put of those 4 or those 5 guys that you see on the third team, who would you put up onto the second team?
I would probably – here's my thing. I think Giannis would probably be the guy I would say, but he probably hasn't been here long enough to do it.
Yeah, so, when we get into the snubs, we'll talk about Giannis and what my thought is on that.
I would probably bump up Wade.
Me too.
That would be the guy I would bump up, and the only reason I would say that is because they had the run in the for the finals and stuff.
I agree. I think Wade is the guy that you would probably move up into that second team simply because of the production that he had early in the decade. And you look at all these guys and you kind of look at where they're at. The reality is probably Paul George and LaMarcus Aldridge of those 5 guys probably had the most consistent performance across the entire decade.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You know, Giannis obviously didn't even get in the league, wasn't in the league back in 2009 or 2010. So the beginning part of the decade, he's either a bit player or not in the league at all. Dwayne Wade and Kobe, beginning of the decade, very, very good, very solid. By the end of the decade, shells of themselves are completely out of the league, whereas Paul George and LaMarcus Aldridge have been maybe not as great at their peak, but more consistent throughout the entire decade. And I think that's why the two of them are on the team. So, all right, well, let's look at who didn't make it that we could make a case for that maybe got snubbed, and then who we might take off if we put somebody else on.
Yeah, I think the one to me would be I think Duncan deserves to be on the team over Aldridge for sure. That's my opinion. I don't either him or Nowitzki. Either one of those guys, I could make an argument over LaMarcus Aldridge. And all I have to say is they won a title and they were both. I mean, heck, Nowitzki's been in the league for how long?
They were both the best player on a title team. And I know Kawhi won the Finals MVP that year, but I still think if you asked internally who's the MVP of that team and who makes us go, I still think they all would have said anybody associated with the Spurs.
Here's my other question, Mike. When LaMarcus Aldridge was on the Portland Trailblazers, who was the better player, Dame Lillard or LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah, I mean, I think Lillard has the reputation of being a better leader and being the guy who sort of stirred the drink there. But I think the case I made it a second ago for LaMarcus Aldridge is the consistency over the course of the decade and 7 All-Star teams, 5 All-NBA teams. That's a pretty solid decade by any player. And I think that, you know, is Lillard a snub here? Is Lillard a guy that you might want to slide into one of these spots? Could he take and you look at what his statistics would be compared to those guys who are on the team, I think you could probably make a pretty solid case that Lillard, you know, Aldridge over Lillard is maybe the wrong choice, but you're splitting hairs, I think, there. I was just
making the argument, like you said, Duncan and Nowitzki were the best player on a championship team.
Right,
I think
right.
There are times that LaMarcus Aldridge wasn't the best player on his team, and his team wasn't even that great.
Right.
I mean, that's just the point that I'm making. And, you know, there's a list of lots of snubs. We could talk about Kyrie. I think Kyrie could have gotten some consideration too, I feel, because, I mean, he was on a terrible Cavs team and still led them to doing some good things before LeBron came back. And then obviously helped the first few years. Now maybe what happened the last 2 years in Boston didn't really help his case, but I just don't know. Something doesn't sit right with me that Aldridge is on there over those other guys I mentioned.
Yeah,
I think that's my biggest problem, and I know that he's been consistent, but I think that's where I have issues.
I think with Duncan and Nowitzki, the case to be made for them is that they were playing at a very high level for, again, half the decade. And in the second half of the decade for Nowitzki, he's not nearly the player that he was in the first half. And then Duncan obviously retired. So those two guys played half a decade. But on the same token, Giannis has played half a decade. And you can argue that to some degree, Kobe and Wade had statistics that were based on the first half of the decade. So we're splitting hairs here, and all these guys are great players. I guess if this was my list and I was looking at who would be on there, I would probably take off LaMarcus and I would probably put Duncan in that spot. I'm not sure for Paul George, Nowitzki. That would be a tough call.
Okay. Here's my question.
Right.
And maybe this is a bad question to ask.
All right.
Are all these players on the third team, are they all Hall of Famers?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So you think Paul George is a Hall of Famer?
Paul George is a Hall of Famer, I think.
You think LaMarcus Aldridge is a Hall of Famer?
I think he's a Hall of Famer. You look at – see, the Basketball Hall of Fame is strange.
It's a joke anyways, but
it's strange because you have all these different, it's not just an NBA Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. So you have coaches, you have contributors, you have college basketball people, you have international stars and people that are in there. So I think if you look at the guys who are in and you compare the stats of LaMarcus Aldridge and Paul George, to the stats of, you know, some of the guys who are the most questionable at the back end of the Hall of Fame, I don't think there's any doubt.
Are they first balloters?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'm sticking with my Duncan Nowitzki. They're both first ballot Hall of Famers. And yeah, I know they performed well in the 2000s decade and not as well in this decade, but I just still think, I mean, you look at Duncan in 2014 when they beat the Heat.
Yep.
I mean, geez Louise, he'd been playing since like 98, 99, and he still put up those numbers in the finals and helped lift them to a championship. I don't know. I just have an issue, and I'm stuck on this whole Duncan not being on this team.
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah. Look, I think putting Duncan on, if I was going to make any change, I would take LaMarcus off and put Duncan on. And then the other guy, there's one other guy that I think is worth mentioning that – has two teammates that are on the teams, and that's Chris Bosh. And I think Bosh has kind of been overlooked because of the way he had to retire because of the blood clot in his leg, and his career kind of ended unceremoniously before it was time. But if you look at his contributions to that Heat championship and what he had to sacrifice, and then if you look at his statistics in Toronto before he went to Miami, I think, again, I'm not sure I would take someone off to put him on, but I think he's deserving of at least a mention here as somebody who could have easily made that third team if all things being equal.
Yeah. So the only other one that we haven't said anything about, and I'm almost saying that he should be on over George, and you can argue with me, but I think Klay Thompson deserves a mention too. You just said with the whole Bosh situation with, you know, being kind of overshadowed by LeBron and Wade, I think that Klay Thompson doesn't get his fair due and fair shake sometimes because he had Steph and Draymond's obviously very loud, and then they added Durant. So, you know, he kind of was playing third fiddle, but I think that he deserves a mention because I think I'm almost more apt to say that he should be on there over George. Now, he probably doesn't have the All-NBAs and All-Stars that Paul George does, would be my guess, because he probably didn't get as many of those. But I just think that, you know, Clay's been very consistent for all the years, and he hardly missed any games until he, you know, got hurt obviously in the playoffs this year. But I think Clay's been a big factor of that team too.
Yeah, I think he's underrated. I think that the case against Clay is if you look at every one of these other guys who are part of this three-team group, so obviously all the first-team guys, second-team guys, and I think even on the third team, they're all guys that can lead their team. They're all guys who are the primary playmakers for their team. And the only guy who you would say maybe isn't that is LaMarcus. And Clay, I think, gets shortchanged because he's playing with all these great guys and people don't necessarily view him as a do-everything, all-court player. And he's a guy who probably, in a strange way, would benefit from going to another team and having it be his team and have him shouldered more of the ball handling, playmaking responsibilities so that he could show what he could do in those areas. And I think that, to me, if I look at why maybe he wasn't considered or maybe why he didn't make that third team, I think that's probably why. Because obviously he has titles. He has statistics. He has all-star appearances. I know he's been on the All-NBA team a couple times. Maybe he hasn't been on three, but I know he's been on a couple. And I just think it's his lack of being the primary star on a team that if you're going to name somebody to an all-decade team, I think you want to have a guy who's been the main focal point of his team. And like I said, the only guy of these 15 that did make it that you could argue, and we already did, that maybe he wasn't always the focal point of his team is LaMarcus. Everybody else was clearly the focal point of their team at some point in their careers. And those are the kind of guys that deserve to be on an all-decade team. Overall, yeah. I'd say the NBA did pretty well. The first team is solid. Second team, you could maybe make some arguments, but I don't think there's anybody on the second team that you would bump completely off all three teams. And then the third team, you know, we mentioned some of the snubs, but I don't think there's anything. You can make a case for why Duncan, Nowitzki, Kyrie, Clay, Chris Bosh, you can make a case why those guys aren't on the same way you can make a case for why Paul George or LaMarcus or Giannis shouldn't be on there. So overall, I think they did pretty well, but it's a fun debate to have for sure.
Yep, I agree.
Maybe we'll have to do a all-time first, second, and third team episode at some point. I think that'd be kind of fun.
Oh God, I'm gonna have to go back and read the Book of Basketball by Bill Simmons and kind of get some schooling in, I guess.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be a fun episode to do. So that'd be a fun episode to get another guest on. We'll have to reach out to somebody, grab somebody else to have them jump on with us. Well, this one was a lot of fun. We haven't talked NBA in a while, so it was fun to record an NBA episode tonight. And we thank everybody out there for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.